What's going on, man? Back for another one of these?
Yeah. So looks like today we're going to talk about how things wrap up at the end of the year.
Yeah. And the big news right now, it's all over TikTok and Instagram, is the big Stranger Things finale. It's the new hot topic right now. Have you watched all of Stranger Things?
I have not. I thought the finale was like already like years ago.
Oh, okay.
Is there more Stranger Things going on?
Yeah. There's a whole new season out on Netflix right now. I'm catching up on some old seasons, and then we're going to watch it soon. I'm behind on TV.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get myself caught up, you know, because I thought I thought it was over.
Nope, not over. It's a new one.
We did go through in Vegas. We went to like a Stranger Things kind of museum sort of deal, you know.
That's cool. Well, I've been kind of into it because, you know, they have a lot of D&D references in Stranger Things, and I'm a big D&D nerd, so.
I think for people my age, the references are a lot of the 80s references and stuff, you know, so we remember how it was where we, you know.
Well, the big trend that's been coming out is these like glow ups. So people are taking their pictures from 2016 and then they're when Stranger Things started, and then they're showing them now in 2025.
Huh.
Quite a big difference in some people. I think I've changed quite a bit in 9 years. What do you think? You're just maybe a little thinner up top? I don't know.
Oh, man. Yeah, you know, it's funny. Facebook is always doing those, you know, 10 years ago photos and stuff like that. So, you know, I lost a little bit of weight.
Yeah. I'm down some weight too.
Yeah, my hair is definitely thinner.
Yeah.
But in general, you know, I don't think I've changed that much. But watching my kids, though, you know, from 10 years ago, because they were little.
And wild now they're, difference.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of got us thinking about business glow-ups and what processes businesses are using that need an update. And I think a lot of businesses I work with are still doing stuff because that's how they've always done them. They don't update their processes. I've worked with a lot of companies, and we've even been in talks of purchasing one company that's still operating from accounting software from like the 90s, and they have not updated any of their processes because it's the way they've always done it.
So, you know, we were talking about the lead into this episode, and I was like, really, people do all this stuff, you know, like all the things. And really when I thought about the question afterward, when I said it, you know, because you were like, yeah, a lot of people do this, you know, successful businesses do it. And
yeah, you don't do it because it's done for you.
So. Well, that's part of it.
You've got people doing
now,
it already.
Now it's done for me, right? But before I came to you, right, the consequences of not doing it was what led me to you.
Right.
You know, it was the constant frustration, the constant stress that I was feeling all the time of not getting things done that should have been done and not having, you know, like it's all on me. And you rightly put it, you know, you said half of these things you do, half of them Lulu do, you know, but actually it's kind of spread out amongst all the employees and people that we have now in our support network.
Yep.
And it got me thinking about it, about how important it really is, you know, as a small business person to develop an actual true support network around you, you know, because there's just so many small things and somewhat big things that need to be constantly paid attention to. One of these is wrapping up at the end of the year and making sure that all the things that are that you're going to need to do for your inventory, your taxes, you know, whatever bonuses, whatever there is, you know, you got to get it done because you don't want that big headache hitting you in January and February.
That's true. And we call it the December sprint. Trying to get all these year-end tasks wrapped up and accomplished. And when you're doing these, you also want to think about the glow-up. You want to think about, what can I do to update my processes? What can I do to get into 2025, 2026 mindset and out of those old ways of thinking?
So one of the things that I see on Facebook all the time, you know, we constantly get these ads. You constantly see all these business process promise ads.
Right.
You know, if you just buy this piece of software or this thing or this AI now, you know, this is going to fix all your business processes like magic.
Yeah.
You know, and I suspect that some of those things may work, but it's been my experience that in the past, whenever I've tried those things, they still require you to get in and figure it out and how to work it and how to use it.
Yeah, a lot of those problems too is those softwares, they want to change how you do everything all mm-hmm. at once. And they do work if you basically change everything all at once, but it's such a hassle to like migrate to new stuff. So you got to kind of plan out and really think about when you're transferring, how you transfer, how all the other inputs kind of match together. So we talked about that a little bit in a previous episode, and we talk about it in the economics course, where if you just change one input, very little happens. You've got to concentrate on all of the processes and all of your workflow together to make those really work, those extra programs and software.
Yeah, I think it takes, you know, I mean, one of who was it that's Stephen Covey, you know, is an author of self-help type books and stuff like that, and often geared towards business. And he's one of the things he said was hire for your weaknesses.
Right. We've talked about that a lot.
And we have talked about that a lot. And that's one thing that I've kind of tried to do over the years, but I've not been a very good judge of character. You know, anybody shows up at my door who just seems nice and they want to be around me, then I'm like, great, come on, you're hired.
Right.
And that has not worked out really well.
Yeah, we got
because
that
one of my weaknesses is apparently hiring.
Yeah, we got that. Yeah. We got that fixed for you.
So I think we've gotten that fixed, but it's been a great journey for mm-hmm. that, right? So these things that have to be done at the end of the year, and also thinking about how to glow up your business and be better, you know, is something where you need to hire for your weaknesses if that's not already your forte.
Right. Yeah. And if you want to leave the upside down of chaotic business management,
we're just not going to get off the Stranger
Things. This episode should help you out.
I'm Scott Hess, tax and business consultant.
I'm John Barton, small business owner. Remember the tortoise and the hare? Slow and steady wins the race.
We started TurtleSmith to help people start small businesses, providing information and resources to small business owners and entrepreneurs.
Build a solid foundation and forge your dreams.
So, first thing that you need to be physical reality check, operations and inventory. How are your operations running? And what is the inventory systems that you are managing at the end of the year? And we talk about year-end inventory a lot. Not enough small businesses do this. You need to be doing a hard count at the end of every year. If for nothing else, that your accountant needs to know what your ending inventory is. But year-end inventory, particularly for retail businesses, after that big December rush is absolutely vital. And it gives you a lot of information. You want to make sure to really count every single thing as closely to accurate as possible. Now, if you have thousands of tiny little products, like I know there's a lot of stores that sell, you know, dollar items, $2 items, and there's just way too many to physically count each one, it is okay to estimate those. But if you have big ticket items or you have the ability to count, it's best to get as accurate a year in inventory count as you can. And one of the big reasons is because it can tell you how you did on your loss prevention during the Christmas rush. We talked about this last episode where, you know, Christmas is the biggest time for theft, unfortunately. And so if you have that good year-end count, you can see how you did on your loss prevention. And I don't know if you saw this, but that it's going around right now, that one TikToker or live streamer on YouTube, Nina Lynn, stole a bunch of stuff. I guess she got in trouble for stealing a steak or something. And Calvin was showing me the whole compilation of her stealing crap all the time.
Well, that's one of the things on the internet, right? So especially when you have a big following, you're going to have people that take notice of a lot of things. So apparently, yes, she was stealing stuff from Target.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, as Calvin explained it, she's one of these IRL in real life streamers. She basically just streams her life as she's going through her day.
I feel like I missed that. I was just a little too old. I missed that trend.
I don't even know how I would do that. I mean, that would drive me crazy to just start filming my life and everything. And all they would see me doing is ranting all the time about the technical glitches.
Yeah. You know. Yep.
But to film yourself stealing and then think that the internet is not going to notice.
It's wild.
Is just absolutely bananas.
Yeah, they catch everything.
Yeah, and then you know, it's just the craziest thing. So yes, we saw that. And it does bring home, you know, how much retail theft is out there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's not only the retail theft that you're trying to catch, you know, you're trying to catch, you know, unfortunately, you're trying to catch employee theft as well.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to reconcile, you know, what was not even out on the floor that should still be there. That's not there.
Right.
That type of stuff.
Right. So along with the year-end inventory counts, you got to get prepped for January, which is the return season. Everybody's returning stuff that they got for their Christmas gifts. And then gift card usage. Gift cards are honestly the best gift. That's what we get each other now. My mom always gets me a gift card to the golf store, and I always get her a gift card to like Academy or something like that.
Well, I got to tell you, Scott.
I don't understand it. We're literally just trading $100 back and forth, but you know, it's the thought that counts, I guess.
I guess it is the thought that counts, plus the percentage that the gift card charges. And
yeah.
You know, we talked about this before and we're kind of getting off track, but the gift cards, at least they used to do this. They used to have like a literal expiration where they just keep the money if you didn't use it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they made that illegal in some states. And now they charge a service fee after like 3 years and it dwindles down the account. Eventually.
I mean, isn't that the craziest thing though? Because you're literally taking cash.
Yeah.
Putting it on a card, giving it to someone. You know, we could just trade the cash and then you do whatever you want with it.
Right.
But yeah, that has to be one of the biggest, the person who invented gift cards, you know, should be in the Retail Hall of Fame probably.
Probably.
So, probably. But anyway, gift card usage is going to be happening in January. That's when people start to use them.
Yep.
So you're going to have to figure out in December, you know, how to train your employees, how to deal with this and make sure that everything's copacetic so that you're not making customers mad who are just trying, or new customers who are trying to redeem these gift cards.
Yeah. One other struggle you're going to have to deal with in January too, particularly if you are a retail business, is the January or the staff hangover, the January hangover. Your staff is going to be worked to the bone during the big rush of Christmas and holidays and year-end tasks and everything like that. January, everybody's wiped out. For us tax accountants, it is April 15th. You won't see me for 2 weeks. The deadline's passed. I'm gone. Mm. Leave me alone. I am burnt out, and all of my staff is going to be burnt out. And so you got to be a little cognizant when you're dealing with that hangover period for most businesses in January about staffing. Make sure you're giving your people some extra days off, making sure you're not scheduling them open to close all the time. You got to give them a little bit of a break.
Give them some Christmas.
Yeah. They need a little time.
Yeah.
Well, so the big question once we kind of go through this in our December sprint is how can we glow up our processes? So we really need to think hard about what processes did well during the holidays and the rush time, what processes didn't work, and what can we fix? And Calvin explained something kind of fun to me that they do. I don't know if you did this. I guess he did in the military. It's called a hot wash debrief. Is that right, Calvin?
Yeah, you get a hot wash debrief where you basically just examine everything that broke, look at all your processes, and then immediately move to fix them before the sting of it wears off.
Now that's a good one. Fix it before the sting wears off, because then you'll forget about it. You know, if you knew a process broke in December, by March, you don't remember that it broke. So you got to fix those right away. Did you guys do that in the military? Just break a bunch of crap?
I was in the Air Force, so no, we didn't. We just sat around and
your stuff was too expensive to break.
You know, yeah. You know, in the Air Force, we just sit around and push buttons.
Well, if something didn't work, or if there was a problem in your business, it's because you have a problem with the processes. And that's what this is really all about. That's why we keep saying the word glow up. You really need to update your processes to what can work now in this year and moving forward, and not continue to do things that don't work just because that's how you always did them. And I feel like too many businesses fall into that slump.
Yeah. You know, it has to be a process of continuous improvement as well.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot with the 2-second lean.
With 2-second lean and you know, the Toyota, the TPS, Toyota processing system and stuff. But just in general, you know, I mean, the whole idea of continuous improvement, I need to refresh my memory on who brought it, but it's basically when we were rebuilding Japan after World War II, it was there was a business guru, and I can't remember his name, but he went over to Japan, and he's basically the one that introduced them to the concept of just continuous improvement.
Oh, that's interesting. You know,
do you remember when made in Japan used to be considered really cheap and crappy, and then now made in Japan means quality?
Right.
You know, and that's a part of why. So they really kind of they've brought their honor ethos to their business processes, and they're constantly improving their processes. So that's where we tend to kind of fly by the seat of our pants, especially in small business a lot.
Right.
But the businesses that have the best processes, even small businesses, they're the ones that tend to be the most impressive and the most efficiently operating.
Absolutely.
And the ones that customers love.
Yep, absolutely. If your processes are in place, then you're doing great. We also want to talk a little bit about some financial deadlines that are going to be coming up. So tax season is approaching for all businesses, unless you're a corporation with a weird deadline. But for most businesses, January 15th is going to be that final time for the estimated tax payments. January 31st, all W-2s and 1099s need to be postmarked and sent out. March 16th is your S-Corp and partnership deadlines, and April 15th is the C-Corp and your personal tax deadlines. You have got to get your plans, your books in place now during December. You cannot rush during January to get it all done, and you certainly can't be late. Otherwise, your tax accountant gets real mad at you. And then you also need to plan for year-end spending. So this is always a question I get from all of my clients. They're like, we made X amount of money. What do I need to buy at the end of the year to save on taxes? And everybody wants to try to spend a bunch of money. I always get people saying we need to buy cars, or we need to buy equipment, or what do we need to buy? And I never really have a great answer for them, because the answer is always maybe. I don't know. Do you ever try to spend a bunch of money before the end of the year?
Well, I mean, yeah, because I would rather invest it than spend it on taxes. You know, I don't mind spending taxes, but I would rather invest money in improving my circle here and my businesses here if I can do it.
Right.
So I always, you know, talk to you about that, and you know, we try to come up with strategies that work.
We
do. That will benefit everything that we are trying to do and benefit the people who work for us.
Yeah. The problem is, though, it's hard to buy stuff that's deductible by the year end of the year. So, yeah. You know, we talked, you asked me the other day about supposed to expense inventory until you sell it. You asked me about, you know, building costs or upgrading the buildings. Those things are depreciated rather than actually expensed right away. So not everything that you buy actually lowers your taxable income. You're just spending cash to spend cash.
There is a lot of incredibly bad advice, bad business advice that I see come on Facebook in this regard.
Yeah.
I mean, it is terrible. And yeah. When you go into the comments, you'll usually see knowledgeable people are trying to make the corrections and say, that doesn't work. But a lot of that business advice, there are things like, you know, at the end of the year, go buy yourself a tank or something, you know,
right.
and you know, you can write it all off and have a free car.
Right.
You know, and people are like, dude, the car's not free. You just get to depreciate it. You know, you're still paying for the car. You're still buying a brand new car.
Well, and all it really does, too, is it's not like dollar for dollar that these deductions go off your taxes. It just lowers your taxable income. And then, you know,
that's
which
what
is
they
good,
make it sound like.
But
though.
Yeah, it's you can't go buy a $50,000 car and then you save $50,000 on your taxes.
Yeah.
So you really need to be with a qualified tax professional, an accountant, a CPA, a bookkeeper, or something who's knowledgeable about taxes to give you some advice about how you can lower your taxable income at the end of the year.
The other one that's super bad advice is the ones that come over and they're basically saying, put all of your life expenses as business expenses.
Oh, yeah, don't do any of that.
And that is, like, super illegal.
It's the dumbest thing you can do, absolutely. Yeah. It pierces the corporate veil is what it calls. It mixes your business and personal expenses. You do not want to do any of that. And those things are not deductible. Like, personal expenses are not deductible on your tax return.
Now, the when it comes to stuff like that, if you get audited and they want to claw back some of that and everything that you've falsely deducted, the IRS, you have what, like 10 years or something as a statute on that?
So it's actually 3 years unless it's a substantial mistake, and then it's 7 years.
But Oklahoma, you said, is forever.
Oklahoma, they can go back as long as they want.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Imagine you're getting ready to retire and you've spent 20 years getting away with putting your business expense, your personal expenses as business, and they come back and claw all that back.
One of the problems that we run into with some of our clients on tax resolution is that they might not have filed taxes for 10 or even 15 years. The IRS only makes us go back 7 years to file them. They don't really care so much about old stuff because it's past the statute of limitations. So you only have to go back about 7 years, but the state of Oklahoma will make you go back and file everything. And a lot of times clients don't have the documents, so we just have to wing it the best we can. We just have to come up with a number, and usually we have to overstate their income because, and understate their deductions.
Yeah, because correct me if I'm wrong on this, because it's the law basically says that the state or the federal government, if it's federal, can estimate for you.
Yes.
They can decide what it was.
They absolutely can. They can file what are called substitute returns, and they're always brutal. Yeah, they're no deductions. They're the worst. You pay the most.
So we've gotten a little off track there, but basically, you're going to see things come across if you're on Facebook or on social media, sometimes you're going to see these wacky kind of advice things, and they're going to sound attractive. Don't fall for them. You know, just do things the right way when it comes to your taxes, especially at the end of the year.
Yep. And you do want to plan for some year-end spending to try to get your taxable income as low as possible. But don't just go blow all your money thinking that you're saving on taxes and then you have not enough money to actually pay the taxes.
So. Right. It would be better, you know, if you had a qualified business consultant or a qualified tax person, qualified bookkeeper. Bookkeeper, really, maybe not so much, but
well, if they're good.
If they're good. But, you know, because you need to know, first of all, one of the things with you is I always know where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
Money-wise. So I know what we've got. I know what we can spend, what we can't spend for the most part. And you know, you're always real good about saying, you know, hey, if we invest in a building or, we, you know, we could invest in real estate or invest in this or that company or something. That is super helpful just to keep me and my wife thinking about these things and thinking about how can we best get everything situated so that we are paying the taxes we need to pay, but we're also maximizing the usage of our money to compound it the best way we can.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well said.
So, and you know, it's better if you're not like me trying to cram and do it all in December. So,
well, that's usually when it happens, but it's time to do it. Well, I think we're going to end this episode with a task. One of the first time we've ever done this. But I've got a task for all the small business owners. Go pull your vendor list right now and confirm that you have W-9s for everybody that you need to send a 1099 to. So 1099s need to be sent to anybody that you paid labor or contract services for over $600. You got to send them out a 1099. So go and make sure you have copies of the W-9, which shows their name, address, and federal ID or social number, all the information you need for that 1099. Pull your vendor list. Make sure you got W-9s for everybody before the end of the year. And now, if you have it, you'll be set and ready to do your 1099s.
Now, $600 is a threshold that just came out a few years ago, right?
No, it's been around for a long time.
Oh, it's been around for a long time. So what happens say I see a desk or something for my business on Facebook for, you know, $700 and I go give a guy $700.
Yeah. Buying a physical good, you don't need to send a 1099 for.
You don't
need
to do
that. It's only services. So there's two forms. There's a 1099 NEC, which is non-employee compensation. That is for services. So you send me a 1099 NEC every year, as do all my clients.
Okay.
So anybody you pay, lawyers, contract labor guys, repair guys that on the labor that they charged, just services. That's what you send the 1099 NEC for. And then there's a 1099 MISC form that you send for people that you've paid rent or royalties to. And I send those out for you, for anybody that you paid rent to or any of my clients that pay those kind of things that need to be on the 1099s.
Okay. Well, there we go.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not $600 all at once. It's $600 for the year. So if you paid somebody four times $200, that's $800 for the year.
And if you have a good accountant and bookkeeper, will they be handling most
of
those for you?
They handle all of it for you. Yeah, you don't have to do anything. But if you don't have one, do the task. Pull that vendor list, make sure you got all the W-9s you need. I got to do that next couple weeks for all my clients, make sure we're not missing any W-9s, and then we'll be ready to go. That
and
way you're not.
And vendor is anybody that you pay for a
vendor,
service.
Yeah.
Right,
vendor.
We call them a vendor.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Well, that's it. That's the task for the episode. Hopefully that helps you glow up some of your processes. I think I've said that like 12 times now.
You have. You're starting to sound a lot younger.
We're trying to hit the keywords. So, all right, man. Yeah.
I found myself the other day thinking about saying some of the things my teenagers say, and I was like, no, I'm not going
there. Fair.
Fair enough. I knew that our country was going somewhere. I'm not going to say good or bad. When I saw one year, I saw Katie Couric on I think it was on the Today Show, and she said, "Oops, my bad."
Yeah, there you go.
And I was like, oh well, here we go.
All right. Well, any final thoughts?
No. All right. Sounds good.
We'll see y'all next week.
All right.
Check us out on turtlesmith.com and at turtlesmithok on all the socials.
And Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy everything. Okay. You guys have a good time. No matter what, try to have a good time. And just remember, don't try to berate anybody. You know, I match energy. That's not the way it should go. Someone comes at you the wrong way, maybe give them some grace this holiday season. So I'll try to follow my own advice.
I'm sure you will fail at it.
I probably will. So.
This is always annoying to ask, but if you're liking this content, please like and subscribe. It's the best way for us to get more followers and more people engaged in this great business content. You can also follow us on all socials at TurtlesmithOK and find us at turtlesmith.com.